Today's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and it reads, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." God bless the hearers and doers of his word.
As we prepare our hearts for the man of God to come before us to break unto us the word, let us all be standing as we sing, "A Mansion Robe and a Crown." I'm gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. And Christ left prepare a mansion for his children in the air. And I'll join him in that land where tears no sorrows can be found. When I receive my mansion robe, Lord, I want a brand new mansion robe and a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the saved, your throne surround. Lord, mansion robe and crown, and the weather there is always fair. There is sunshine day and night. No cold nor rain will fall there, for sunshine ever bright. And I'll need no heavy garment, I'll just wrap my roll around. When I receive my mansion robe and crown, we're singing, Lord, I want a brand new mansion robe and a crown in glory. Know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the saved, your throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion robe. My head from the work that I try to do. But one day I'll be rewarded with a crown so bright and new. And I wear a smile so bright, for there'll be no cause for a frown. When I receive my mansion robe and crown, we're singing, Lord, I want a brand new mansion robe and a crown in glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound forever. Let me be among the saved, your throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion robe and crown.
Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day as well. And whether you're a member of this Franklin family, a visitor, or a virtual guest, I'm so glad that you found yourself here with us today, that God has brought us together for yet an opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship in his presence among those of us who be the saints of God. Good morning. I shall open my Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. My invitation for you to join me there is this verse will serve as the context for today's lesson, Grace, a Mother's Gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Grace, a Mother's Gift. Mother's Gift. We know full well that all of us, as humans, we have our insecurities. We all do. I've got mine, and you've got yours, and that's just what they are. They are insecurities. But the one thing it seems that mothers struggle with most in life is the question that's raised is, am I good enough? Am I good enough? Am I going to raise my children well? Am I good enough? Do I really take care of them the way that I should? I mean, am I good enough? Because I have my own emotional needs and my own problems. And I wonder sometimes as a mother, can I really do this mother thing? You know, when you stop and think about it, it's pretty extraordinary what mothers do if you stop and think about it. Even at tender young ages, mothers find themselves, they find themselves responsible for another human being. In some cases, two, some three, or maybe even six, but they're responsible for another human being. And so the question that is raised today is, am I good enough as a mother? Mothers question themselves about that even today. It's been going on throughout all ages. But I want to tell you, in a sense, nobody is good enough. I'm not enough. The elders are not enough. Your mother, your father, your grandmother and your grandfather, they were not enough. And the truth is, by yourself, you're not enough. Because absent the divine grace of God, nobody is enough. Nobody. But the good news is simply this. When we put our faith in God, God's grace becomes enough for us. If you put your faith in God proportionate to the amount of faith you have in God, you will experience the grace that you need. His grace, God's grace, and God's grace will be enough. You know, in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the scripture is about giving. And what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8, is that he speaks a truth that applies across the board and not just about giving. It applies to all mothers as well. It's a gift of encouragement. Listen to what Paul says. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So Paul is saying that we need to be generous in our giving to the church. Sure, even so, God will give us all we need. But the principle of God giving us all we need applies to everything, and it even applies to motherhood. It says that you may not be enough. You might not think that you're enough. But the grace of God working through you and in you is enough. It's enough. It's saying that God will give you all you need. It's saying that God's grace will be enough. And this morning, on this Lord's Day, I want all mothers to be reassured that God's grace will give you everything you need. In a world where God's grace is ever present, it's all around us. There's still some that have an inadequate view about grace. That is, we think of grace simply as an act of forgiveness. And most certainly God, he does forgive us. It's indeed an act of grace. Forgiveness is indeed an act of grace. But in the Bible, grace is more than just a transaction that says that we are forgiven. It's more than that. In God's word, we see grace as a divine power, as a divine provision. Grace is God divinely giving us the strength that we need. We can't get it on our own. It's the grace of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, Peter's talking about the need for us to acknowledge the truth. And after he speaks about the need for us to acknowledge the truth, then he says this, but you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You grow in grace. You grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's not just saying here, I want you to be forgiven and then be baptized. That's true too. But what he is saying is, I want your grace to flourish. I want the divine power of the blessings of God in you to grow. That's what Peter's saying. I want it to grow. I want it to become bigger and bigger and better. Just a few chapters later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find that Paul has a physical dilemma. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9, here's what it reads. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God said to Paul the word no. He says, no, I'm not going to remove that because my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, and God's grace will also be enough for you as well. You know, I think about Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 50. I think about Mary. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. You know, the angel comes and he says, listen, Mary, God will show you grace. And her response isn't, oh, good, my sins are forgiven. That's not her response. Her response is, even though I am lowly, I will now be lifted up by God. She understands that God's grace is not just an act of forgiveness. She will be lifted up by God's grace, and that grace is God's provision for all of us. It's the grace of God that lifts us up. And we don't even think that we can be lifted. When we're just burdened down with things that we can't seem to lick it, God's grace comes along and he lifts us up. She understands that grace is not just an act of forgiveness. It's God's provision for us, for all of us. And again, God's grace, that same grace of God, is going to supply all that you need as well. I need you to understand that. The grace of God is going to supply all that you need as well. Everything in Scripture is attainable. Everything. Grace is that thing. Grace is the thing that gives us all the blessings that we need. Not necessarily all the blessings that our immature hearts want, but the grace of God gives us all that we need. And I found a blog from a lady by the name of Kimberly Stokes, and she was writing these things that they call mommy blogs. And this is what Kimberly Stokes had to say. She says, God's grace is enough when you feed your kids macaroni and cheese from a box. God's grace is enough even if you have piles of laundry in several rooms of your house. God's grace is enough even if you choose to be distracted by a cell phone while your kids are running close to the street. God's grace is enough even if you serve cereal twice for supper this week. God's grace is enough even if dirty dishes are piled up in your sink and you don't know when they were used. God's grace is enough even if you haven't lost all your baby weight, even if you have a gray hair, and even if these things happen while your kid is in kindergarten. God's grace is enough even when they have toys scattered all over the house and you got company coming. The truth is, God's grace is good enough in the big areas. It's good enough in the areas that matter. God's grace is good. It's good enough in the grand scheme of things. God's grace is good enough when that child gets to the age where they just refuse to listen and they want to walk up to you and they want to dictate to you what they're going to do. God's grace is big enough for that. God's grace is good enough because beneath all the conflict and beneath all the anxiety that mothers go through, beneath all the stress, God's grace comes along and gives all mothers, gives them some peace. Gives them peace. Because all mothers everywhere, unless they just don't have it in them, they worry about their kids constantly. The kids are always on their mind. They could be 9 or 99. And God's grace is big enough to quell that anxiety. His grace is big enough. I want you to listen to me, mother. God's grace is big enough for you You might not think that you're good enough, but God's grace comes along and, oh boy, what a wonderful gift it is. What a wonderful gift God's grace is to mothers. God's grace is going to give you peace. And I'm not saying that God's going to take away all your conflict. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, it's deeply held beneath the conflict. God will give you enough peace that you can sleep well at night. Some mothers are not sleeping. God's grace will find a way to give a mother joy. In the middle of all those things that are going on, mothers, they are good at finding joy in their children. No matter the circumstance, they're good at finding the silver lining in their children. And it can be as bad as all outdoors. It's still their mother's child. No matter what they do, what they say, no matter who they become, they will always be their mother's child. And amid all of that anxiety, God still, he gives grace to mothers, and they can find peace in the middle of all of that. God has a way. God has a way of giving us the grace that we need. And I want you to understand that. He will give it to you. And I find Jesus, so he speaks about physical grace, and he reminds us. He says we shouldn't worry about food or clothing or drink. He says, look at the flowers of the field. They don't labor or spend it. They don't manufacture clothes. Look at them. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed as one of these. God cares for us, and this is how God cares for us. And I want you to see this morning that even though you may not be enough, even though you project a low self-image on yourself as a mother and you ask yourself all these questions and your confidence is just not there because your kids are just, some people say kids ain't bad, right? Listen, even though you may not think that you're enough, God's grace is enough. It's enough. And those of you who are younger mothers, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what it's been like for you, especially when you're a single mom of a female-dominated household and nobody's there to support you. I can't imagine that. And that's real. That's real. And there seems to be no one who wants to reach out to those mothers. They just want to look at them and watch them struggle day. I can't imagine that. I want you to know, single mothers, I see you. I see you. And the reason I see you is because I was raised in a female-dominated household as well by a single mother raising four kids. Back in the 60s when there wasn't any money to be made. She's 86 years old right now. You know what I think? I think that God gave her the grace that she needed to just put up with me. Forget about the other three. Just me. Just me. And in her older age now, I'm learning the grace of God as well, because now I got to put up with her. Look, I'm saying this in your very presence this morning because I want these young mothers, I want to grant you permission to just loosen up a bit. Cut yourself some slack, relax a bit, and just be a mother. Just be a mother. Put your faith in God, and God is going to give you all the grace that you need. You've got to believe that. Even when you don't feel like you're doing a great job, the provisions of God are going to care for you in the areas where you're not strong, because in your weakness, God's strength is multiplied. God's grace, God's wonderful grace, listen to me, hear these three words. It is enough. It's enough. It's enough. Here's what I want you to see. I'm going to say this twice because I need you to get this. God's grace is experienced in proportion to your faith. God's grace is experienced in proportion to your faith. I'm not saying that if you believe harder, you get more grace, because God's grace is already here. It's all around us. Even non-believers benefit from the wonderful grace of God. But we experience it more in proportion to our faith. So it's not that God increases it the more we believe. It's that we experience it more as our faith progresses. We experience God's grace more and more as we grow and come to trust in God and come to know God and come to know that we belong to God. We experience his grace more and more because we learn to recognize it. Amen? You may not recognize it initially, but once you recognize the grace of God in your life, that's what Peter says. And that's what Peter means when he says, you grow in grace. Just grow in grace. What he wants us to know is that God's grace covers the whole world. The grace of God is already here. It has appeared already. But we get to pick how much of that grace we experience. We have our own free will. We get to pick and choose how much we want to experience. And we can only experience the grace of God through faith. Crystal clear, it's plain in Scripture, Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace that you have been saved. Not of yourselves. You have nothing to do with God giving you that gift. You just have to take it. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift. Isn't that plain? Some people don't want any gifts. They don't want anybody to give them anything. The grace of God is already here. All you've got to do is embrace it. Take it. It's a gift from God. We won't go to the pawn shop and get that fake stuff. Stuff that ain't worth a nickel. I want to use it. Listen to me. The grace of God is a wonderful gift that he gives all of us freely, even those mothers that project a low self-image of themselves. God's grace is there for you. It's there. Got to take it. It's the gift of God. It is our faith. It is our faith that enables us to enjoy the grace that God gives us. Listen, the more I trust in God, the more I discover God's provisions through his grace. And I understand that everything is going to be okay. Grace enables us to understand that everything is going to be okay. It may not be like you want it, but it's going to be. Am I right? Everything is going to be okay. God is enough for me. I understand that. I understand when I understand God's grace that God is enough for me. He's even enough for you even when your faith is weak. You just don't know it because your faith is weak, but he's enough even in your weakness. So my encouragement this morning to you is just say to yourself, am I going to trust in God? Because the more I trust in him, the more I trust in God, the less I have to worry about my own inadequacies. Am I going to trust in God? Because the more I trust in him, the less I have to worry about my own weaknesses. Am I going to trust in God? Because the more I trust in God, the less I have to worry about my own worries. We worry about worries too much. My encouragement this morning is to trust that God will be enough. Because he will. He is enough. And you will experience his grace only in proportion to your trust. You will experience his grace only in proportion to your faith. So the question is, how is your faith? How do you measure up? And to all mothers everywhere, what I want to say is this. I'm not going to hold you long because I know y'all got a reservation to go eat and all that, but I've got to say this. You got to go stand in that line and wait 2-3 hours just to celebrate. I'm not doing that today. To all mothers everywhere, what I want to say is, let your family see Jesus in you. Let your family see Jesus in you. Because your kids will forget about 90% of what you say, but they'll never forget what they saw in you. And every child has seen something in their mothers. They may not have told you, but they've seen it. Ask them, they'll tell you. And they may not want to, but they've seen it. Let me tell you what children need. Children need a role model. They need a disciplinarian. Children need a teacher. Your child needs a judge, someone who sets rules and also keeps them. Let me tell you something, and this is a tender spot for a lot of people, but let me just say, this is me. If you want your child to be your best friend, be their parent first. That's you gotta do, be their parent first. And when they grow up, they'll become your best friend. Too many people around here trying to make that child their best friend when they're not even being a parent. Be a mother first. And when they grow up, they'll be your best friend. But if you try to be your child's best friend when they're younger, try to give them everything they want and treat them as an equal, there's a very good chance you won't be their best friend in adulthood either, because you never gave them any structure. You never gave them a parent. Listen, think about your children. They got a lot of friends already, don't they? How many mothers do they have? Amen. Children have a whole lot of friends. You don't need to be their friend, just be their mother right now, and they will appreciate that later on in their lives. Some people wish that their mother was still here so they can enjoy that grace from God as well. They do. And I can't imagine that. So what I want to do right now in my life is relish the grace of God that I have now at 86 years old. It's incredible to think about that. And on the flip side, it's incredible to think that she may be gone one day. It's a grace from God. Mothers are a grace. They are a gift from God. You got to know that. Children have a lot of friends. You don't have to be their friend. You just be their mother. Amen? One of the greatest things you can do is let them see you following Jesus. Let your children see your conviction to God in all things and all that you do. Let them know that you're convicted. And they'll never, ever question your loyalty to God, because your life has made it crystal clear that you are a child of God. You know what it'll do? It'll make a spiritual difference in a carnal world. You look at Luke 15, and you see the prodigal son. He left home, and he went out to the far country. But one thing I want you to understand about that story, the father never went out there to get him. Amen? Because he already made a difference in his home, and the child decided to leave. And the difference that was made when the child was out there, he realized, my father is at home and he loves me. They're going to wander. They're going to go. Children are going to go out there and they're going to taste this world. It's going to taste good to them. But if you give them some structure and a good example where they can know that you're loyal to God, they are going to come back. Might not come home, but they're going to come to their senses. Some of them are going to come home, amen? I think we got some independent children out there today. It'll make a spiritual difference to your children in a carnal world if their mother is loyal to God and they can see that conviction in you. Let your children see that you follow Jesus as a mother. It's a wonderful thing to do that. some of them don't want you to, you know, they become grown, they're not children anymore, and still your child, and they don't want you to tell them, here's the word, nothing. Because you don't understand. And here's another phrase, you know, times are different, Mom. Here's what God says through Solomon. There's nothing new. Nothing new under the sun. Here's a question to you, mothers. Here's what I just need you to think about for a second. When was the last time your children heard you pray? Or we get excited about it when they're born and they learn how to speak, and we can teach them how to get on their knees by their bed, and we can read them a story, and we praying with them all the time, but let them grow up. Why do you stop praying with them? Ever thought about that? When was the last time that you pulled your child aside? Amen. When was the last time your children heard you pray? As a mother, let your children hear you pray. If that sounds strange to you, it ought not be strange. In 2 Timothy 1 and 5, this is what Paul says to young Timothy. He says, you know what? I can remember the genuine faith that is in you. He says, that faith dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. No doubt in my mind, he says, I'm persuaded it's in you also. Why? Because in my mind, I know he heard his mother and his grandmother pray. There's no way in the world that he can have the faith that he has and not have it instilled in him from his mother and his grandmother. Let him hear you pray. Let him know that you know. Let him know that you're loyal. Let him know that you follow Jesus. Let him. Too many mothers say, you know, I pray for my child all the time. Let him hear you. Let them know you're praying for them. Don't tell me. Your faith first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. That statement is a game changer, isn't it? Wonderful statement. Because mothers, listen, you can shape these boys to be leaders in the church. And they will remember, you know, it's strange for a grown man to say, he in the church, I can hear a woman praying. Because we think that's taboo to hear one. No, it's in the worship service. I would love for my mother to pull beside me and just start praying for me. She ain't got to put her hand on my head or nothing like that. Just pray. Just pray. Mothers everywhere ought to just get their kids gathering together. Pray not only for them, pray with them. Pray with them. Makes a difference. Because we need strong, faithful mothers and grandmothers today. And I'm not talking about just bringing them to church so you can give your child a break, the mother a break, or the children. No, I'm not talking about babysitting in church. I'm talking about setting a spiritual precedent and not compromising your soul because your children have decided to become partakers in the far country. You can't, listen, and you feel ashamed of that now. So you're going to grab the grandchildren and you're going to pardon the absence excuse from your children coming to church because they don't want to give glory to God, so you're going to bring their children. We're enabling them to walk away from God. Take a stand. You know, mother told me 2 weeks ago, she showed me a sign, and the sign said, she showed it to her children, if you're not married and you're having sex, she showed them what it was called. The children didn't like that. She took a stand. And didn't matter what the fallout from it was, she stood up for God's word. Can't just bring them to church. Can't just do that. Can't just take the grandkids away and say, look, I'm going to leave you right there to do what you're going to do in your sin. Listen, children not only need to know that, and mother are praying, they ought to hear her pray and pour her heart out to God. Here's what else I want you to understand, mothers. And I'm going to get down in a minute. Ask your children to forgive you when you sin against them. Let me say that again. Ask your children to forgive you when you sin again. I grew up in a time where mothers said, that's the way it is, and that's it, and they might have been wrong. It's two left shoes. They wasn't going to apologize to you. And their grandma sure wasn't going to do it. And there were some mean grandmas back then. Now, y'all can say what y'all want. They did some things they shouldn't have done. Am I right? I mean, and we're realizing that now as we grow older, that they did some things to us that they shouldn't have done. Let me tell you something. Apologize to your kids. Ask your children to forgive you when you sin against them. Let them see Jesus living in you. We don't need to perpetuate that stuff. The more you display your faith as a mother, the more God's grace will become sufficient for you in your life as well. And it's not that God's going to withhold it from you. He's not going to do that. What we need to do is just embrace the faith of God as much as we talk about it. People talk about grace and faith all the time. Embrace it. Stop talking about it. Embrace it. We don't just need to embrace it. We also need to taste it as much as our souls need. Our souls need the grace of God. Bar none. And if God's grace isn't enough, if his grace isn't enough, then I want you to tell me what is. What is? What else is there? What else is out there? Let me help you understand what you sing when you sing this song. I need you to listen to this song. I need you to listen to this. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was grace that relieved my fears. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. All through many dangers, toils, and snares, you know, I've already come and I find myself in some right now, God. But it's God's grace that has brought me, saved us far. And you know what that grace is going to do? What does it say? It's going to take me right on home. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It's the grace of God that that brought me safe thus far. In all my insecurities and all my weaknesses, in all my worries, it's the grace of God that brought me safe thus far. And that grace is going to bring me home where there'll be no worries, no tears, no insecurities, no low self-image. There'll be no sin. My grace. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And that's what God, he told Apostle Paul that, and it's so, so true. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when? In the time of need. There's always a time of need. And because there's always a time of need, we need to find ourselves always in the grace of God. Just absorbing it and living it and enjoying it and glorying in the grace of God as a mother. I know it's been hard for you. Single parent or a mother in a home with a father who just, you know what he does. Amen. I know it's been hard, but I want you to know this morning that God's grace is enough. It's sufficient for you. You just be the mother that God called you to be. Just be that mother. Because the times are going to come when you might even like your children. Amen. But God's grace is going to fix that too. But you've got to embrace it first, and your children have to see the faith of God in you first before they can adopt their own. So come boldly. Come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. God's grace is enough for you. It's enough for everybody. It's enough for all of us. And he gives it freely. And he gives it in abundance. And now is your time to respond and receive that continuous blessing, that continuous gift that comes from God. So put your faith in him. Put your faith in God and enjoy the gift of his grace for you. And one last note, happy Mother's Day. You know, the great love that God has for man, he tells us about that in John 3:16. It says he loved the world and he gave his only begotten son. He gave Christ as our Savior. Luke 19:10, he says he came to seek and save those that were lost. He sent the Holy Spirit as our guide in John 16. He said the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And he will not speak of his own, but he will speak the things that he has heard. He revealed the gospel as the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. You've got to believe. You've got to believe it. And he set Jesus Christ as an atonement for our sin by his blood. By his blood, it was atoned for us, Colossians 1:14. It's the blood of Christ where our redemption comes from. Redeemed by his blood. So won't you this morning, won't you just hear the gospel? Won't you just hear it? It's written in the prophets, John 6:45. And they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learns of the Father comes unto me. Just believe the gospel. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it's impossible to please God. For those that want to come to God must first of all believe that he is. And rewards those that diligently seek him. It's a diligent search for God. We got to repent of our sins. In Acts chapter 17, there were a group of people who didn't even know God. And Paul says, you know, this God that you don't know, I'm going to tell you about him. Because he doesn't live in temples made with the hands of man. And at one time, he looked at sin and he winked at it, but now commands men everywhere to repent of their sins. That's what you have to do, repent of your sins. You have to confess faith in our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Confess Christ. Confess him. He said, you confess me before men on earth, I'm going to confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And he will do that. And we got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, because it's in baptism where we meet the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in baptism where we put on Christ. It's after baptism we receive the Holy Spirit of God. It's in baptism. We become sons of God. Galatians 3:26-27. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And when you put him on and you live within his grace, proportionate to your faith, he says in Revelation 2:10, there's a crown of righteousness that you will receive. It's a crown that's waiting for you. How wonderful that day will be. Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. If we can help you today in any particular situation that you might be in, if you're a Christian and you wandered away from God, you need to come home, this is your time to come on home. If you've never been baptized into Christ, if you don't know that Christ will take away your sins, not only your sins, but the guilt of your sin as well, it's time for you to acknowledge that. Come and accept Jesus Christ. Come be a part of the church that he died for and purchased with his own blood. If we can help you with that this morning, once you come, we stand and sing invitation song.
God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon.